Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast, and we're doing preview mode, as much as you can say we ever have done anything remotely resembling a preview of a college football conference.
Or a mode.
Or a mode. Or anything consistently, really, other than poor audio quality and hasty planning.
Well, no, preview fits here because it's like when you're buying something online. You're like, check out your cart, and that's your preview, and this is your chance to bail. Don't buy this podcast. Empty the cart.
Also, it's not a review, so what else could it be? We're not talking during the game.
Fuck, we should do that.
Oh, totally? The review preview during the game?
The simulcast that we only release like 8 hours after the fact.
I'm all for this. We should do this during the season.
Good. That's somehow we've made this podcast worse in 5 minutes. Who are we
reviewing? Amazing. Who are we reviewing? We're doing we're doing the Big 12, correct?
God's most confusing math conference.
Yes, the Big 12, which has how many teams? 10 for now.
I hesitate because Texas Tech, are you a team? You're half a team, let's be honest.
And also because you never know when Oklahoma's president might strike and just add 7 teams when nobody's looking.
That's true. Or when Texas will just say, fuck it.
Fuck it, we're splitting into 6 teams and 5 of them are gone to the other conferences.
I really enjoy that Texas is the glue that holds the whole thing together and every other team in the conference just fucking hates them. It's like, it's sort of like when, you know, before no fault divorce, when you're like, yeah, you got to come up with the reason. Be like, ah, fuck. All right, I'll hire a private investigator and hopefully we can catch Texas fucking some other conference.
If Texas is the glue, it's literally crazy glue. Am I right?
I wish Texas would do one of these late capitalist mega corporation things where they fire every conference except for Texas and then ask them all to reapply at lower pay rates.
That's good.
We're streamlining, y'all. This is the wave of the future.
Welcome to the big trunk.
Yeah, it's the big oath. The big oath.
Iowa State, you're on that gig economy now.
Whole conference based on the gig economy. We're saying this. Act like it's not already how it's working there.
It's called game sharing. Why would we only have one team beat Iowa State at once and we could have two? That's green.
Texas, I mean, Texas already has a Patreon, right?
Sort of.
Yeah.
But like UMass going independent, isn't that the gig economy?
No, I think the gig economy is currently as leveraged, right? It's a series of giants and dwarves with some very large, successful entities like Texas that have their own sort of set of rotating partners, and they have a Patreon that ESPN just pays into. Oh my God, Texas is just a successful podcast.
So Texas is like when a rich person gets into some difficulty and immediately puts out the GoFundMe for like, oh, my yacht bill's due, y'all. Help me out here.
My yacht has cancer.
My yacht has cancer, y'all.
And if that doesn't work, they're like, there's a dog on the yacht. Everyone's like, oh, cute doggy. Oh, it's a yacht. So
smash that motherfucking donate button.
You're so adorable. The Big 12 now down to, yes, 10 teams. They're tidy, at least. Easy to discuss in terms of numbers, not so much in terms of geography anymore, because it stretches all the way from beautiful Manhattan, Kansas to Morgantown, West Virginia, all the way down to Waco, Texas.
Well, I like it because it's like the Game of Thrones map where most of the time you're like, yeah, those are the towns I'm familiar with. And then sometimes you're like, Morgantown? Oh, fuck, it's a Morgantown episode. Shit.
I love it when they go to Morgantown. It's like the blanket Ford episode of Community.
And then the game at Kansas, that's the fucking bottle episode. That's so, we couldn't afford to bring in the whole crew. It's just Walt versus the Fly
clip
with
show.
With a track around it.
The Kansas football, it's been the clip show for like 10 years running. Ever since 2007. Remember the curse of Mark Mangino. When you fire Mark Mangino, you're going to be bad forever.
Jesus. Just pick a team, then. I don't care where we start.
Well, we're already talking Kansas.
Well, okay. Sure.
It's easy to say bad things about Kansas.
No, it's not. You know why? Because Kansas is a fucking recruiting powerhouse. As of today, as of June 14th, 2017, Kansas has a higher class composite for 2018 recruiting than the University of Florida.
It's only 50 spots ahead of Alabama.
They're ahead of damn near everybody. And I'm just going to get my goal, my Montessori goal for Kansas out of the way now. Beat one team in SEC recruiting. You almost did it last year, Kansas. You finished 69th. Nice. Vanderbilt finished 62nd. So this is achievable. You can definitely out-recruit Mississippi State, South Carolina, Ole Miss. Pick a team. Like, there is somebody that you, Kentucky, there's a team that you can leap over. And then you have that. You have that.
Can you imagine if it's Missouri?
might be, dog. Might be. Yeah, I want to share one sentence with you about Kansas football. That is, man, it's from Bill's excellent preview of Kansas. They're all excellent. They're Bill Connolly on SBNation.com. It's a site. Might have heard of it. Biggest 2017 game. Because when you look at the schedule, it's brutal. You want to know why? It's Kansas playing it, y'all. That's why. It's going to be hard. What constitutes hard? Where are the standards for what?
At Ohio. Please tell me it's at Ohio.
In Bill Connolly's own words, as strange as it sounds, the trip to Ohio on September 16th is enormous. KU was solid at home last year and hard on the road, and this is the first chance to prove that might change. Also, this sentence gets so much worse, man. Also, it could mean a 3-0 start, which would be massive for a program that hasn't won more than 3 games since 2009. Hmm. Not 2009.
Hmm. I have another positive thing to say about Kansas, just real quick. You look at the schedule, there is no Power 5 out of conference team on it, right? And
yeah.
I know that, like, most people are like, oh, you know, you need to beef up your schedule, blah, blah. I appreciate that Kansas is not infecting some other Power 5 team schedule with their because everybody does this. They're just like, well, fuck it. We'll play Wake Forest in a home-and-home in 2023 and 2027 or whatever. Kansas, at least this year, clean. Not playing USC, not playing Miami or some shit. Just staying out of the way. I like that.
You're not picking Rainbow Road. You're picking the Excite Bike course.
You're picking the start menu.
Man, I'm.
You're on 50cc.
I will say this: every time I've watched Kansas under David Beatty, every time, it's been an entertaining game. I did not say successful in a football sense. It's just been relatively entertaining. It has. It's the Big 12. People slam the Big 12 for their lack of commitment to defense, maybe their poor secondaries. Hell, Big 12 coverage is a term used disparagingly by coaches in other conferences to describe the Big 12. Unfair, mostly because it's cool, not because it's inaccurate. These games are sometimes fun to watch. Do you remember Kansas and San Diego State? Or, I'm sorry, not San Diego State. Very different geography.
South Dakota State,
yes.
Yeah.
You remember that game? That was wild.
Yeah.
That was so good. I could watch that all day. I know I'm unusual here, but dang it, Kansas, you're likable. You try real hard, and every game is going to have like 100 points.
So give us
maybe not in your favor, but it'll have 100 points.
So give us the record.
I'm going to go real big here. I'm going to say that for the first time since 2009, they will win more than 3 football games.
So 4-8.
4-8, baby!
This is also the number I had in my head. And last year, I made money betting against Kansas winning 3 games. So I feel like I really have a beat on the Jayhawks.
You made chicken. And I have to remind you that
chicken
is not a recognized form of currency.
Well, and actually it was negative chicken because it was a double or nothing bet.
Sure.
And I won nothing. Which is perfect for Kansas football.
Next team.
I would like to tackle, let's see, Oklahoma State. I like talking about Okie State. They're fun. Their Stillwater is an unsung place. I didn't say it was unsung for a reason.
They have, are they the recipient of this year's how the fuck did you schedule this game? Because do you see what I see on September not 9th, not a Saturday, September 8th?
Mm. Oh, yes, that would be because after a brisk opener versus Tulsa, by the way. Tulsa's not no walkover. They go to South Alabama.
How the what?
Yeah. That's,
you know,
fair.
These are mileage runs. That's all this is. This is somebody on that staff is like, ooh, I'm almost a gold.
Did you happen to see the next week?
Yeah, and that at least I can justify by saying it's an ACC team, but yeah, you got that road back-to-back, South Alabama and Pitt. I don't understand. Are you delivering cigarettes?
Just keeping rivalries alive. It might be they're planning on driving with the top down so Gundy's hair can flow the entire way.
This is like the Crisco delivery triangle, basically.
And looking at the rest of their schedule, by the way, you very quickly come to the realization that this is unnecessarily hard. this schedule is not easy, and it has three games to start, which are the easiest game isn't that easy, and it's confusing. It's at South Alabama, a team which not good but not terrible, and it's on the road in a very weird environment. So Tulsa, South Alabama, Pittsburgh, kind of I think maybe a little underrated in terms of the difficulty that they stacked at the start of the schedule. It's a Big 12 and it's early. Remember, nobody knows what they're doing early.
Yeah, this schedule has all sorts of. They got to play Texas on the road and then go back on the road to West Virginia, and that's before they host Oklahoma. Like, this has all kinds of unpleasant potential here. This is sort of. I look at this schedule and I picture somebody at a Chinese buffet for the first time just being like, ooh, I'm going to have French toast sticks, and I'm also going to have onion rings, and I'm also going to have crab rangoon. And you know what? Let's top it off with some chili. And it's like, oh, buddy, this combination. It by themselves, these items might have been fine, but you have brewed a stew of pain.
Can I also give you another reason to look at this and go, hey, this is a team that I should watch, like, for sure. Because in the year 2016, I'll just give you this, Mason Rudolph at the quarterback spot. Do you recall how many yards he threw for?
Jesus.
About 11 million.
Sure. Let's go with that.
I will accept that as an answer, because 4,091 yards is definitely an 11 million kind of number. Only four interceptions. He was 28 through 28 TDs.
How many passes did he throw?
He threw 448 passes. Jeez. Or he attempted 448 passes.
And he only threw four picks?
And he only threw four picks, and he went deep a lot. He throws a beautiful deep ball. And combined with Mike Yurcich's commitment to the run game, yeah, you're going to get some shots downfield out of this offense. They are ridiculously fun at times on offense.
Here's what I want for Oklahoma State this year. Has nothing to do with on the field. I want you to give Pistol Pete a dark backstory. Like, I see him, and he kind of has that grizzled hangdog look that's like, I've seen things, man. I've done things. Things that you don't talk about in front of women and children. And I just want them to steer into that, because on the website, it's just like the history of the costume and old newspapers said this and blah, blah, blah. No, I want them to go full dark Western and just be like, yeah, man, Pistol Pete, he used to hunt orphans for money. And he has to live with that. He has to live with that pain every goddamn day. Go Pokes.
We'll write that up for DSBS. The secret. We'll just do mascot backstories, right? Each written in the mode of, like, you know, a writer and or show.
Sure. Ugga will just be constant failed experiments to breed a xenomorph.
We keep getting these dang dogs.
Kill me. Kill
Michael
me.
Fassbender. More like Michael Assbender.
Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones just sitting in a lab going, I need a dang old xenomorph.
Jerry, you're not going to fuck the xenomorph. Yes!
I have no dreams, goals, or aspirations left. There is but the fantasy of making sweet love to a xenomorph.
I mean, Jerry! It seems pretty easy to fuck a xenomorph. A lot of humans in the movies are able to pull that off.
It's got two mouths, y'all! Two mouths!
Like, the message of the movie seems to be that it's real easy to do that.
Yeah, you're just not going to like what happens later.
The xenomorph is not a loving partner.
No. It's a relationship that doesn't end well for you.
It's pretty rough, but you'll have a baby. You'll be a man with a baby.
What is your predicted record for Oklahoma State this season?
Well, I really think they'll mess up one early. I think they'll mess one up early. I think that the rest of the schedule, I mean, it's fairly manageable, especially given that, I mean, they're as equipped at the quarterback spot as anybody in the conference. It's a quarterback first league. I really think that if you're looking for a game that will have more points, there's no than, just more points than any other game in the known universe. They play two of them. There's one at Texas Tech in Lubbock, Saturday, September 30th. And there's one October 28th at West Virginia versus the Mountaineers and Will Grier. Go Gators. I think this is a 9-3 team with those losses coming, versus Oklahoma. Even under new management, I think they lose one of those shootouts because flip a coin, y'all. And I think they might drop a game early versus one of their first four that they face. Pitt's a tough road to hoe there.
I was going to say TCU at the end of that first four could be a just like, Jesus, we're tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially after a long road trip to Pitt. So okay. I'll say 9-3, a very entertaining 9-3, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. And to me, OSU this year is going to be like the good Big 12 team of the year. I don't necessarily mean the Big 12 champion. I mean the most Big 12 team that is also good. Texas Tech, of course, will be the most Big 12 team in general. But Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, if you're a person who likes points and 6 hours of football, that is your game of the year.
Well, let's just talk about Texas Tech then.
Oh, God.
I mean, you said they're the most Big 12, which to me suggests that they are like a vitamin supplement where it's like, yeah, you're just going to piss most of that Big 12 out. You know that, right? You don't need 300% of your daily Big 12. That doesn't make sense.
You don't need 10,000 grams of Big 12.
It stops colds. No, it doesn't. It doesn't stop anything. It's Texas Tech.
It doesn't stop a goddamn thing.
Bro, you got to get on this Big 12, though. You got to get on this Big 12.
You're just going to run and throw and throw, too.
But Dr. Oz says, no. No, he doesn't. Well, he probably does.
He might.
Yeah, I don't. God, it's so bad because every single year I really would love for this to work. And every single year, despite massive offensive numbers, they can't stop a cool breeze on defense. Yeah, they cannot.
But they got a good, I mean, if Auburn LSU was last year's win or pack up your home game, Texas Tech Arizona State week 3, Todd Graham's already on the hot seat apparently. I don't know what the fuck's going on with Cliff Kingsbury. I hope one of these teams just burns the other one to the ground. I hope this is not close. I hope one team looks completely unprepared. I have no stake in who that team is, but I hope it's like a, oh yeah, yeah, we saw what you did at the holiday party. Yeah, you're gonna get fired.
Yeah, I don't.
You pooped in the punch bowl. We all saw it.
I mean, they played
a 67-55 score in that game, and I don't care which team has which number.
Okay.
Yeah, I I know there's a loss on here, and that loss is Oklahoma. They lose to Oklahoma. They don't match up well at any position. So there's one. That's a definite loss. Oklahoma State, they have a defense, so that's demonstrably better, right? Mm-hmm. At Houston, don't know about that.
I'll probably take Houston there.
You'll take Houston? Yeah, I'll take Houston there too. You know, hell,
I mean, man, Ed Oliver versus 80 pass attempts.
Eastern Washington, I don't know about. Not with that defense. I don't like.
And Vernon Adams transferred back. People don't.
Yeah.
It's a weird rule.
He's playing both ways. It's really weird. Like, Texas Tech was really young on defense last year. They were the worst, like, defense in terms of efficiency. Like, they were.
Shit, just pick a number. They were worst.
Man, they were. Yeah, they were bad in everything. They weren't just bad in everything. They were the worst in everything. Right? So I don't worry about this offense at all because they just plug and play. They really do. It's brilliant. This is what Cliff Kingsbury's really good at. They just don't have a defense.
Man, this oh my God. So Texas Tech last year, not technically worst in yards per pass allowed, 121st, right below them. Arizona State, I'm telling you, oh God, it's going to be beautiful.
September. Listen, Todd Graham didn't get that like extension that he usually gets around this time of the year. The year extension. I'm telling you, man, Arizona State's gonna be playing their ass off this year.
I dub this the Heaven's Gate Bowl because somebody gonna die.
Somebody's getting raptured. Yeah, and this it'll get bad too because man, like that the end the last five games. Tell me if you've heard this before. Last five games for them. Hell, I'm going to stretch it all the way back. Iowa State's not going to be a pushover this year. They could easily win this game. So it would be at West Virginia, Iowa State, at Oklahoma, Kansas State, at Baylor, TCU, at Texas. They could lose all of them. Absolutely all of them.
So I'll go ahead and say my only goal for Texas Tech this year is show defense in one game. That's it. Just one conference game. Go just shut somebody down. And intentionally the next week, go ahead and give up 580 yards or whatever. And just be like, see, we proved we could do it. We got clean. But now we're back on the smack. Not sorry.
Yeah, I don't. Man, this feels like a 5-7 team again. This just doesn't. Like, I mean, I can see five games they win and a couple of coin flips. I mean, they could very easily go 4-8. This just is not. There's not much promise. So, guns up. Sorry. I'm going to go. I'm gonna put him at 5-7 again.
Listen, guns up. That's technically how you commit suicide. So,
goodness, Ryan's on one today. I'll bump you down to 4-8.
Good. But 4-8, I can be talked into. All right, so I'm gonna go 4-8. I feel better about that. So yeah.
All right. Okay. I heard you say Iowa State. Let's talk about some Cyclones.
Cyclone.
It's hard to make cyclone noises.
There's the cyclone roller coaster at Six Flags over Georgia. I don't know if other Six Flags have a cyclone ride, and it's this rickety wooden thing that like jostles you all around. It's the best roller coaster there because it feels the most dangerous, and like it's the one that's most likely to just collapse while you're on it.
I see. So it's the kind that you're like, huh, this is so old. Why should they tear it down? Why don't they tear it down? Why is it still like part of this notable, ostensibly high-level theme park? That kind of fits Iowa State. So, thanks.
Yeah, it's like this is exciting, but I'm really feeling more strain than I should.
The wooden,
you know, which is
Iowa State, the wooden roller coaster of college football.
Yeah, still in the league, by the way. Alan Lazard, fantastic receiver for them. Could have gone pro. Coming back, like a legitimate 1,000-yard guy, and we're not saying that guessing because he got 1,000 yards last year. He's huge. He's like 6'5", 220. He could get like David Boston big, y'all. Done completely naturally.
The shutdown forecast does not recommend that you get David Boston big.
Yeah, no, don't. No. weird things happen, but we do recommend that if you're a receiver, build those bulk muscles, right? Be like, do 1,000 biceps, just 1,000 bicep curls before the game, because people notice, y'all.
They have, I'm looking at the Iowa State roster here. I don't know. I have no idea who's going to play quarterback. They have two Kyles, so that's nice. They have
a push.
They have a Jacob, but then they have the redshirt freshman out of Watkinsville, Georgia, that I really want them to give the ball to. Zeb Noland, Z-E-B.
Zeb!
Yep.
Did you say he's from Georgia?
He is.
Oh, of course
he is. Yeah, of course he is.
name Zeb. If his name was Zeb Earl, man, Pete Georgia right there.
Governor.
Zeb, old Zeb Earl. I'm going to vote for him. He looks out for me. That and this chief problem with Iowa State, again, may sound familiar here. Weren't really able to stop anybody. Kind of a pattern in this conference when you get down to it. But vastly improved. They're a more efficient team than they were. Matt Campbell, it's like 23 years old. He's a very young man. But very promising. Player coach, yeah. He punts.
And they were close last. I mean, the record wasn't great last year, but they lost by one score to Baylor, to Oklahoma State, and to Kansas State. So they like hung in. They weren't consistently getting their heads caved in the way they had been in some seasons prior. So that's an improvement. And that leads to my goal. Iowa State, I'm going to let you choose. Option one, get ranked for 1 week in the AP poll. Just one. I don't care which one it is, but you haven't done that since 2005. And 12 years is an enormously long amount of time to not crack the top 25, at least. Like, a lot of think about all the teams that have been ranked since 2005, even if just for 1 week. How are you not in that list? Or, option two, live mascot. I know what you're saying. The mascot's the Cyclone. That's right. I want you to create a Cyclone before every home game.
Do they have to create it, or can they, if they play in a NC State Notre Dame style game, does that count?
Absolutely, yeah. But either way, just decide, like, that's going to be our thing. We're going to create.
How's the road schedule looking?
They got,
As far as weather,
it's going to be difficult.
Akron, I have no idea. Oklahoma has potential. Texas Tech.
Definitely some potential. West Virginia, no, it's too mountainous, man. Yeah. It just doesn't happen.
Kansas State, you can get a little twister action going in here. That's fine.
At Baylor, oh yeah, definitely.
Swirling trash winds.
Yeah, it's a cyclone made of bats.
Yeah. So before we get too high on Iowa State, we've done nothing but say nice things about them. Do remember that, yeah, the talent level, it's real low. Although, if we're going on 2018 recruiting rankings, y'all, Iowa State is beating not Florida, but they are beating Georgia at this point and Auburn.
Well, over the last 2 years, they've had a nice little boost. I think they're up toward the middle of the conference at this point.
Yeah, so that should show up when? Next year? Right.
Yeah.
So next year's when you go, man, that guy won 9 games at Iowa State. What's going to happen? Oh, and Matt. Yeah.
Auburn job,
Matt Campbell.
He's a little overqualified.
Yeah, at this point.
He's already won more than 5 games.
So they only have to get to 5-7 and he gets the Auburn job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works.
All right, well, I hope you pick him to go 5-7 now.
I'm going 6-6. Let's get to this bowl game.
Wow.
That's what Bill's number said. I'll go with that.
You know what? I'm going bowl eligible. I'm going bowl eligible too. You and I were on the same wavelength. I'm saying 6-6 with a massive upset in that last like stretch of 3 games. Like they do something nuts, like beat Oklahoma State.
All right, that leads to my next question. Of the 6 that you're saying they could win, what team is going to be, fan base at least, the most livid that they lost to Iowa State?
Well, we just said Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. And there's some bad memories there.
Yep.
They've done that before.
Can I also add a third goal option since we've given them two? Now, do they have to declare which one they're going for?
No, nobody listens to this, so it's fine.
Well, I mean, if they don't declare, we ain't counting it.
Okay.
Tell them that.
Sure.
Add them on Twitter.
Call your shot. Yeah, give a third.
So, yeah, it's like playing horse. So I would like to request that Iowa State have, from this current roster, including 2017 signees, a first-round draft pick. It can be 2021, that's fine, but they haven't had a first-rounder in decades.
I think they're the only team that's never had a first-round. The only FBS team that's never had a first-rounder, right?
It was like 1972 or something
that
like that.
We did
a post on it, and like the second most distant was like Indiana in like 19, like 30 years apart. Just Iowa State, it's please break that streak at some point in the next few years.
Let's just talk about Texas.
Embroiled in controversy that's not at all manufactured this week. Not at all.
Please expound.
No, I don't really want to. I just like saying that very loudly. Texas, new coach, Tom Herman. Got a couple of recruiting camps going on. Those are getting dangerously close to LSU territory, and nobody's real happy about that. This is definitely a bagman saga, right? The recruiting wars that I guess you have to pay attention to in the off season, even though they might be kind of ginned up in terms of how actually important this is. All you need to know about this fight between LSU and Louisiana is this, that Hal Mumme is out $5,000. Maybe personally, I don't know how things work at his new job in Bellhaven, but there was a canceled camp that was going to happen. Texas, they ended up getting it canceled under local pressure, and Hal Mumme, father of the air raid, is out $5,000.
Oh man, Jabba the Hutt's gonna be so pissed.
That's what I'm thinking, is that like this sets into something like if Hal Mumme's like, dang it, we lost $5,000. I'm like, oh man, Hal's got to get that $5,000.
Yep, yep.
He owes it to a bounty hunter.
Yep. Jabba. Oh, Jesus.
I have to say the Cajun Jabba the Hutt's got to be the most festive.
They'd cook him and eat him, right?
Oh, you know, he'd like it. He'd be like, oh yeah, you sure would do that. I'm delicious.
The little frog in the bowl, it ain't jumping.
Yeah, no.
It was cooked a long time ago.
That's right. So seasoned.
I don't know what my goal for Texas is this season. You know what? I'll sort of cheat here. Texas, don't make Spencer and Jason look stupid. That's it.
Yeah, I guess we're
when
real
has
good.
That ever happen, Ryan?
yep. That's all I have. So now. You have to work with me on this one. You two can set them up for failure.
9-3. Let's do it again. Back on the board.
Fuck.
For anyone just not joining us, this was we picked this last year. Much to Ryan's dismay, I think this is largely the reason he's broken out of doing predictions, because he didn't want to be tied to us. But then he went and did it again. Somehow he's just as dumb as we are. It's incredible.
Hook him.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that they're a couple games better because of Tom Herman, right? Than they should already projected to be, right? Like they're already projected to be like a 7-5 or 8-4 team. So I'm in lockstep with Jason here. I think I'm happy to embarrass myself again, Texas, in your name. Yeah. You know what? You said 9-3.
Do it.
No, I can't do it. No.
It's
you know
like,
what? You know what?
It's
throws
like
the whole thing
you
off?
You climbed up on the turnbuckle and then said, "Nah, my knees. I gotta." All right.
No. I climbed up on the turnbuckle and then I was brutally hit from behind and had to come down to the second rope by seeing that USC game on the schedule. Because otherwise, I might be all 10-2. But no, they're gonna lose that USC game. So
all right. Go ahead. Go ahead and do your Texas thing here.
9-3, y'all. That's what I'm going to give it as an observer. And by the way, like Mac Brown, I'm actually going to have to pull a Mac Brown on this podcast, y'all. That's the joke, because I got to go pick up my kid.
Do you want me to make predictions for you for the remaining teams?
You are bound to everything Jason says.
Yeah,
I got a
flight to catch. Jason's going to have to be my Adam. I'm in. You do a great job. I'm sure you'll keep everyone entertained here.
Okay, I'll try and think like Spencer Hall.
Yeah, join.
Try and get inside the mind of Spencer Hall.
You know the banana mobile and the cars, trucks, and things that go books that Richard Scarry has? It's that. Just imagine you're driving that. It'll make the decisions for you.
Jesus Christ. Go
bye, everybody. I got a flight to catch. See you later.
Bye, Mac.
Go get your children.
Bye-bye.
Jason, we have only a handful of teams left. Who you want to go to next?
Like halfway done.
Shh. There he is.
Well, let's see. Speaking of older males who should probably leave at some point, let's go Kansas State.
Okay, yeah. The good news for Kansas State is that you don't play anybody incredibly challenging in your first month of the season. At Vanderbilt is definitely going to be like a pretty ugly two men swinging hammers at each other game, but that's fine. I think we all expect that and understand that going in. The bad news is after your bye, yeah, it kind of stacks up. It kind of like ramps up pretty quick. Baylor, Texas, TCU, Oklahoma, all in a row, and then closing with WV, Oklahoma State, and maybe at that point a decent Iowa State team. Kansas State, my goal for you is very simple. I want you to break the record for longest drive. Do you know what this record is currently, Jason?
23 plays.
It's 26 plays. Navy against New Mexico in the 2004 Emerald Bowl. This drive went 94 yards, which means, and I can tell you, it did not end in a touchdown. It ended in a field goal.
Oh, my God.
And it took 14 minutes and 26 seconds of game clock. I think if Kansas State puts their mind to it, they can eat up an entire quarter of one drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's no reason you shouldn't try.
We got a good post on that drive, by the way.
Yeah. So that's all I'm asking for you. Do you have any feelings about this team at all?
So should have a good running game.
Okay.
Should largely do the anti-Texas Tech thing where you're the Big 12 team we can preview without even looking at your roster or schedule or anything. Because we know what Kansas State is at this point. We know how they want to win. They like defense, not making mistakes, and running the ball. And they set up well to run the ball this year. The question, of course, is their coach is 100,000 years old and wasn't able to work 500 hours a week like he normally is. So there's, you know, there's the question of were they so perfect because of all those extra hours in the off season, or will he lose his Sith powers or what have you? I think I'm going to bet on Bill Snyder to have a good final year. I'm going to go 8-4, but I'm also feeling 7-5. So I'll give that one to Spencer.
Spencer getting the 7-5.
Or maybe I'll switch it around because
yeah,
he's older.
You should put him favorite old guy. Put Spencer out on the ledge. You know, in true shutdown full cast fashion, we're doing a Big 12 preview. Something fairly major happened in this conference in between the time we recorded our last episode and today. We are now at least a half an hour into this episode and we have not mentioned it once because we're so good at this. We're so good at this. We just leave
what,
you hanging. Can you imagine?
Conference's biggest story of the year?
Can you imagine somebody who, if you're out there, I want you to email me and we will have you on the show. If literally your only source for college football information is this podcast, please let me know. And I mean only, not Twitter, not going to ESPN, definitely not watching games. If the only way you get anything from this sport is our podcast, I want to know who you are and I want to apologize.
If it's, how about that and or if you found out on this show that Bob Stoops just retired.
Which we just announced just now.
We want you on this show.
That's, yeah, you know what? That's the truest test. If you can convince us that you did not know Bob Stoops had retired until Jason just said it 8 seconds ago, you're on the show. I don't know.
I mean, is that like there could be a scenario there. What if it's someone getting back from vacation? Because like I was on vacation last week and I didn't find out for hours and hours.
Sure, but no, man, you can't let this be the way you find out news. You can't let this podcast be the way you find out news. Like, I know news media is broken in modern society. I know, like, sources are questionable and it's hard to know what to trust and everything feels... Listen, I get all that. You can't let this be your news source! You're gonna get hurt!
You gotta do better, people.
You're gonna get hurt! You're gonna find out that we evacuated Earth a month after it fucking happened, because that's when we'll talk about it from the moon base.
I think what we do is we provide a safe emotional distance from the news.
Sure.
You know, the thing happens and wow, man, that's pretty raw. No, let's wait not only 2 days for us to find a booth and then 16 hours for us to get it up and then, you know, 4 hours for you to listen to it and then 30 minutes we actually get to the news. At that point, you are so insulated that you can't feel a thing.
So my goal for Oklahoma this year is actually pretty simple. I want you to do two things. I want you to beat Ohio State, second week of the season on the road, which is nothing personal against the Buckeyes, and I think they're going to see why in a second here. Then I want you to turn around and give Lincoln Riley a dumb contract extension, a Charlie White, like, throw all your money at him. And maybe it works. Maybe you lock down the next great offensive mind for the next 20 years, and maybe you just tied 18 albatrosses around your damn neck. That's what I want you to do.
I like that one a lot. That's my favorite goal we've had so far. We need Lincoln Riley in-season contract extension.
Huge, huge contract extension. What the hell are the Sooners going to do this year?
So you return maybe the best player in the country, college football-wise.
Definitely,
you know,
not. Definitely not cop
draft pick, but...
and definitely not cop evasion-wise.
No. The mobility is not exactly what we thought it was. The evasion skills, once he stepped into SEC country, once he went up against Arkansas's defense. I mean, Arkansas's defense made a play. Imagine that. But
some exciting cops. That's what it stands for.
I think as far as what is required of a quarterback in college, and especially a Big 12 quarterback, and especially one in a Lincoln Riley offense, Baker Mayfield might be, you know, the most fitting player in the country. So that alone, that gives you a pretty high floor, I think. And other than Ohio State, you know, might be favored in every game. So to me, 10-2 doesn't feel out of the question. I mean, I could put Spencer on the hook for 11-1, but I don't think he would go there, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Let's talk about TCU. TCU, kind of disappointing last year, man. And I think went largely unnoticed because of the other sort of, let's call them up-and-coming powers or more recent powers. Oregon's fall got way more attention. Michigan State stumbling, bumbling all over themselves got more attention. TCU kind of slipped under the radar, but that was a shitty season, man.
Yeah, things went pretty bad. We're not used to a Gary Patterson season going like that. Had some, you know, everyone noticed, like, they kept their offensive coaching staff, but they've had defensive, you know, adjustments over the last few years. So there was a little bit more attrition than I think people realized, and people like me were all in on Kenny Hill, you know, as a Big 12 quarterback, because, like, he got some good games in the SEC, and that's a little bit harder than in the Big 12.
And the offense, man, it just fucking swan dive over the last 8 games or 7 games. I mean, they score 24 points to beat Kansas by 1. They score 10 points against West Virginia. They score 24 against Texas Tech in a game that goes to overtime. They only score 6 against Oklahoma State. They only score 6 against Kansas State. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
So my goal is not on the field related. I just want you to let Gary Patterson coach a game in a tank top. That's it.
Just let the big dogs hunt.
That's right.
Let's do it.
That's right.
Now, is this a situation where, like, oh, my goddamn purple shirt isn't working. Got to try black shirt.
No,
oh,
no,
shit,
it's all like custom Nike made like thermocool performance tank.
Does this lead to a win, and then he wears it every week, even like to the bowl game in? Well, the Big 12 doesn't have many cold weather bowl games.
Are they still a pinstripe team?
boy, that'd be the weirdest thing in the world. Nope, they can't make that ball unless, say, the ACC or the Big 10 don't have enough teams. Yeah, they can do it. Let's do it. TCU, naked Jerry Patterson in New York City, naked cowboy. He can play the guitar. He knows how to play the guitar. We did it. But let's aim higher than the pinstripe bowl. Last year, I picked TCU to the college football playoff.
Jesus.
That was my dumbest prediction of the year.
I honestly, if you hadn't said that, I don't think anyone would have remembered it.
I am proud to wallow in my mistakes. When someone tells me I'm stupid, I say, listen, I beat you there. I beat you that punch decades ago. Let me double down on that. Let's go 11-1. Let's do it. Let's say Kenny Hill plays September Heisman all year long. They get in shootouts. They win the shootouts. Pull off a couple really stupid upsets. Let's go 11-1, Horned Frogs.
Who's the one? I have to ask. Oklahoma?
I don't know.
Kansas. Make it Kansas. Fuck it.
Let's go Iowa State.
Okay, good.
And for Spencer, let's do a little more reasonable 8-4.
Good. We got a good variety of options. That's a good range for you, TCU. You could really.
Well, for so many teams, we've been one game apart. Let's really get some separate.
You want to get some juice flowing. I get it. Let's talk about West Virginia. West Virginia, you got an interesting slate here. Opening up the season in an NFL stadium against Virginia Tech. Then you got East Carolina, which giant slayer of years past, a little less so in total recent history. You got some, this is the thing. West Virginia is just never going to get the like road trip that's not a road trip. That's the hardest thing for me about this conference situation. And I don't know. It feels like that's always going to hold them back because everybody else in the conference can say, you know, if you're Oklahoma State, you can say, okay, well, we're going to Texas. That's manageable. We're going to Iowa State. That's manageable. All these West Virginia games, man, it's like a long distance relationship. You have a long distance relationship with the Big 12, West Virginia. Why? Why are you being tied down like that?
They need to trick someone into thinking Virginia Tech is in the Big 12.
What I would really like West Virginia to do is attempt the secret second family thing. Just real quietly be like, and we're also in the Big 10. Don't tell.
Virginia Tech or West Virginia has brother husbands. let's do West Virginia and Nebraska are both in both conferences.
Perfect. And so, yeah, my goal for West Virginia this year, just start some conference rumors about you. Get them going. You know, you say
we're planning on joining the Big 12.
That'll work. Say you're joining the Americans. Say you're like, you know what? We think it's got a longer future. I'll be honest. And we like that it doesn't have Texas. We didn't consider that in the first place. Do whatever it takes. Yeah.
So this team returns their bigger names from last year. And I think it's tempting for a lot of people to see that and to say, oh, they're plugging in a quarterback who, did that big game against Ole Miss back in the SEC. He'll be just as good as he was. He's exactly the same athlete, down to genetically and chemically and all that, exact same body type as he had before.
Yep.
No reason why it would have changed.
Nope.
And
if anything, stronger and better with all that rest.
He's had so much rest. Oh, man, he's just been dreaming for two straight years about beating Virginia Tech, hated rival Virginia Tech.
I call him Zip Van Winkle. Woo!
to me. And, you know, there's not much beyond that is the thing. Like, you know, yeah, they return a guy who had a few good games, and I realize I'm using the same logic against West Virginia that I used for TCU, which is the quarterback had a couple good games.
But that's the most college football media member thing you can do.
Yeah, being openly biased.
Yeah.
Against, like, one of my favorite states, you know, geographically in the country. I just hate West Virginia's beautiful weather and scenery and mountains. Yeah, to me, this is a little bit more of a rebuilding year than it looks like. And I know when Bill did his team preview a few weeks ago, it was not popular. You know, like, I think the title we went with was a preseason ranking is not a fair expectation for Dana Holgorsen in this season. You know, it's setting him up for it to look like a disappointment, even if he finishes 6-6 or whatever. And to me, this is looking a little bit more like a 5-7 team.
That would also, I think, align with the idea that Dana Holgorsen's not going to be happy being, like, firmly entrenched here, right? He likes the danger. Oh, he likes the feeling of any day could be his last.
That's when he's most dangerous. So West Virginia 5-7 in a bowl, thanks to APR. What? How that happened? No one knows. There were no other 5-7 teams, and then they just torched somebody. Let's do that.
Okay.
You so 6-7.
You give him Spencer. And
Spencer's definitely more of a 7-5.
Okay. Baylor, let's talk again next year.
Yeah. 6-6 across the board.